Hey guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast Season 6, Episode 139. Today's episode is a part of the GAF segment and we are speaking to Katerina Zafiris. She's an emerging Greek-Australian director whose storytelling is rooted in heritage, memory, and heart. In this episode, we discuss growing up as Greek-Australian, how important it is to tell our stories from our generation and our perspective on what it's like to be Greek-Australian and our experiences. Her work serves as a beautiful reminder of the importance of cherishing those who come before us. Join us as we explore her creative journey, cultural roots, and the stories that move her. So without giving anything else away, let's get into this episode. Hey, Katerina, thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
How are you? How's Good. The day been?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, the weather's kind of miserable at the moment, but nothing we can do about that. What about yourself? How have you been?
Good. Busy at work, but glad to be finished for the day and doing this podcast, which is awesome with you. But yeah, no, just a normal day, honestly, but the weather is needing to be spring, I think.
Yep. It's coming soon. We don't have to wait too long.
It's slowly creeping up on us, but yeah. I'm so excited to have you here and chat about your journey. But before we do that, we actually run through a bit of a rapid fire, just to break the ice, have a bit of fun before getting into like the deep dive of everything.
Yep.
Take as long or as quick as you need to. I change it up depending who I'm speaking to, but I feel like I can keep the similar vibe going for your one.
Okay.
The first question is, what entertainer or like person in the arts inspires you the most?
Oh God. Oh no, rapid fire. I can't do that because I take like 2 hours to think of an answer.
Take as long as you need.
That's a big question because there are just so many people that I can think of in general. Wow. At the moment, I can say that a lot of my inspiration for my own personal projects is drawn from an Italian director. His name is Paolo Sorrentino. He did The Great Beauty, The Hand of God. Especially for my latest short film, he's definitely been one of the biggest inspirations. I love how he gets his own sort of inspiration from his own life and weaves it into these different like fantastical and nostalgic themes. And it just really, it uplifts everything that he does in his films.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that answer. The next one is TV or film. What do you prefer to watch?
Oh, it really depends on my mood. Like sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I really want to go to the cinema. I want to watch a 2-3 hour long film and really just engross myself in that. But other times I'm like, yeah, put on just a TV show, a sitcom, something that I can just watch. Yeah. I mean, I love to binge watch. Like, I'm not going to lie. Definitely Same. Guilty pleasure. But, yeah, it really depends on my mood. I can't pick one or the other.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And the next one is indie or blockbuster. What do you prefer to watch?
Indie. 100% indie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that, you know, more people are, like, supporting indie movies. Like, I feel like it's much more important to, like, support them because they need, like, more awareness, more like advertising.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
Awesome. And the last one is, when are you most inspired?
Oh, I don't know. I guess for me, inspiration can come from anywhere at the most random times. It could be, you know, something a bit more obvious when you just see something beautiful, you're out in the world, you know, you're traveling. And other times it could be just sitting at home and you have a thought, or you know, you see something that you maybe had forgotten and then it just re-sparks something within you. It really anywhere. I mean, it's kind of a general answer, but yeah, anywhere for me.
Yeah, of course. So I guess like with that, you know you're a director, like primarily, what was the inspiration in getting into the industry? And I guess what did it come from your childhood? Like, did the spark to be in this industry start from when you were younger?
I think oftentimes when I get asked this question, it sort of came from nowhere. But then when I really sit down and think about it, it's probably just like the culmination of so many different things. Like, I've always been into entertainment and performance. Like, when I was little, I'd like put on like theater shows just in my house for my own family. And then, so yeah, I guess I was a performer before I was behind the camera. And then I don't know, I just, because I had never known anyone in the industry before, I didn't grow up sort of in that environment. I didn't think of it as a potential career or job or something that I had wanted to get into in my life. But then getting older and realizing that I love cinema and I love making films and being creative and hands-on in that way, it sort of came to me that, oh, maybe this is an option for me. So then from high school to uni, studying film and TV, sort of just progressed that way.
Did you attempt to be an actor at all? Like saying that you were a performer when you were younger, did you have that attempt to be an actor, or did you just go straight into like the behind the scenes? And what was like, I guess, if you didn't attempt it, or if you did, what was the reasoning to like shift and go behind the scenes rather than in front of the camera?
No, I really can't say that I ever did attempt to get into acting, which I can't really say why, because it is something that I enjoy. So maybe that's something that can come a bit later on, or never say never. But I don't know, I just think it just progressed into me being behind the camera and sort of being creative in that way, because I do work in the art department a lot as well. And as a production designer, I love being able to be a hands-on creative. I love prop making and set building. So it's just sort of where I've ended up, but not regretfully in any way. I really enjoy where I am now. And who knows, like maybe in the future, there will be more of a performance side to it.
I guess was when you got older, like when you got older, was it more of a limiting thing, like, or like a fear thing that you maybe didn't want to attempt to like go on into the acting side, like even a cultural thing too, because like obviously you're Greek and things like that, it's not really in a lot of families or in a lot of homes encouraged to be in the arts. So do you think maybe like it was easier, I guess, for you to tell your parents you wanted to be a director versus like an actor?
Not really. I wouldn't say that necessarily, because I mean, even like a lot of what I do now, I have to explain it a lot. There's a lot of questions about it, but I don't think it had anything to do with that. I just think that it was, as I was discovering more about the industry, it sort of just got left behind a bit, and I got more interested in storytelling from the directing and writing perspective.
Fair enough. That's like fair, but it's so brave to also like be a director. Like, I think it like being a director is the hardest thing. And then like when people say, like even to me, like I don't think I'm that experienced yet to be able to direct myself. So whenever I write short films or something like that, I always look for it for a director, but it's so hard when the short film is like close to you and then giving it to someone else to direct. I guess with that, is that when you've taken, if you've taken on like short films and things that are from other people, which I assume you would do more in like uni and things like that, but was that a difficult thing for you to do, like to take on someone else's project and essentially have them give up control of like what their original vision is? Because that's how I would. It would be hard as a director to do that.
I think,
Me, because I'm like, you essentially take that control over, and like that person that's written it or whatever else, not loses all control, but visually would lose like the control, or and in somewhat the direction too.
Well, I actually have never directed anything that I haven't written before. So I can't really answer that in great detail, but what I can say is even being in a different head of department role, so for example, whenever I've been a production designer for a film, and you're sort of, the director gives you so much trust, and the writer gives you so much trust to visually bring what they've written down to life. And it's like you feel that responsibility, but at the same time, if you're working with people that truly enjoy the collaborative nature of it, it's not difficult. It comes naturally, and you almost sort of you speak the same language, and you learn what each other wants without necessarily having to say it out loud all the time. And that's sort of like that's a privilege when it comes to working with people. It doesn't happen all the time, that specific like click between departments and people and creatives. But I guess what I can say is I wouldn't be opposed to giving my scripts that I've written to another director if I felt not necessarily qualified to direct it. But then at the same time, as you speak about experience and feeling experienced to direct your own things, my mindset is sort of like,
Be like more if I was an actor and then
yeah.
so like actor in it, but then it's also my project and then I'm also directing it. Like
Yeah.
for me is the hardest thing. Like, 'cause I'm like, I don't feel like I have enough experience to direct myself,
Yeah.
actually talk to myself like about what I might be doing wrong as the actor in the performance. So I feel like that, yeah, like, but then vice versa with directing, like, do you feel like when you're directing, you want to have someone, I guess, like behind you to see if like what you're seeing or what you're saying is like gonna be okay on screen? Like, do you
Yeah.
have that right-hand person, I guess, and do you work like that necessarily?
I think part of it is just, I mean, obviously, like, I wouldn't exactly call myself a highly experienced director or anything like that. Coming out of uni, I had only directed my graduate project and then a few small other things. But I think you just first and foremost have to put a lot of trust in yourself because, if you wrote something or you didn't write the script, it doesn't really make a difference. You need to trust that your instinct and your experiences will all come into play here, and that you are in this position because you can do it. You can direct it. You've been given this script, or you've trusted yourself to do this, and other people have put their trust into you. So you owe it to yourself to, do the best that you can and to trust yourself. And I think that obviously being on set as a director and, during pre and post, you have people that you surround yourself with, whether it's your crew or, someone that advises you. And obviously they're there to help you and you need to take on that information, see things from other perspectives and fresh eyes. But yeah, I do think first and foremost, it's important to put that trust in yourself as the director.
For sure, I think, but also when you say like you don't have like that much experience, but it's so like not like that. I feel like experience like isn't necessarily like measured because like at uni you do get so much experience and you went to Swinburne and did like film TV. Like you would have so much experience in just like that small amount of time being at uni. Like you would have a mate like a bunch of like different roles that you would have had to like fill when you were doing short films in uni. So you have so many like a vast variety of how different industries like different spots in the industry work and things like that. So I would say that like when you go to uni, you have to learn everything. Like you actually are learning so many different departments, and then you fill in the one like you focus on the one that you are really like aiming to like go outside of uni and pursue. Was your, I guess, inspiration to choose like directing as like your major and then pursue it outside? Was there something that captivated you about directing more so than like the art department, because you do a lot of art department
Yeah,
stuff,
I
like,
do.
but not like actively pursuing art, like the art department. You're more pursuing directing. Was there
Yeah.
a moment that you remember that you're like, okay, I think directing's where I want to go and where I hope to be after uni?
I don't know if there was a specific moment. I know that I went into uni initially always, having that writing background, and that to me naturally progressed to pair with directing. Yeah, I do love the art department. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy being a production designer and assistant, a set dresser, all of that. And I have worked in every department, I'd say, besides camera department. I'm too scared to touch a camera.
Hey, the camera just
Yeah.
knocked a friend. I'm like,
Yeah. But no, I don't think there was a specific moment. I just think it was something that was always going to happen for me, because I love being in a creative role, but also one that's conceptual and hands-on and communicative with all the different departments. Because I think, just in general, as a person, I like communicating with everyone. I love to chat. I love to I've always been in leadership positions, so maybe that comes into it too. So yeah, I think it's sort of, you get the best of all the departments as a director, so you don't really have to limit yourself to, only one section.
yeah, that makes total sense. And you get your like hands are kind of everywhere. Like you
Yeah.
get like a mix of all of like everything to like put together the like film that you're making.
Yeah.
I also have like noticed, like just looking at your IMDb and things like that, that you do like a lot of things that are kind of like periodic or like in a specific era.
Yeah.
And obviously this upcoming film that we're doing like together,
Yeah.
what in like I guess what inspires you to do like periodic stuff and not necessarily do things like in the now like era? Is it just like visually that you like that better, or is it just stories that have come in your mind that are just better set in like a different time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do love a period piece. I've always loved a period piece. Even just to watch as a viewer. Look, I think in general, I'm just a nostalgic person, I guess. If you ask anyone, they'll say I'm nostalgic and sentimental and, all that. So I guess,
Cancerian?
sorry.
Are you a Cancerian?
No, I'm a Pisces.
Was like, if you're a Cancerian, then that totally makes sense. But I guess.
No. But yeah, I guess I've always been drawn to stories from, decades ago, from centuries ago even. I like the idea that as a storyteller, you can keep something alive for as long as you talk about it and as long as you bring it to people's attention. And
Yeah.
I think that's why I do feel more connected to period pieces, and why I continuously go back to that, whether it's something that's from 100 years ago or 50 years ago, or now, maybe 30, 40 years ago. It's just something that I think it's important to keep telling stories, not necessarily retelling the same thing over and over again, but just new takes on things, which can offer a different perspective and how that applies to our lives now. So, and also visually, of course. I mean, as someone who's also in the art department a lot, I get excited over historically accurate, table dressings and costumes. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I
exactly.
think a bit of everything.
I think like also like you want to keep those kinds of settings alive too. Like
Yeah.
want to bring this new generation into like knowing what it looked like to live in the 80s, or like what it looked like to live in the 90s, because this era, like this generation right now, they're not getting that. Like you can go as far as like what, like from 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago to now, not much is different. Whereas if you look at the 80s type of thing of where they were living, how they were living, The kinds of like as simple as like tables that they were sitting on and things like that are just totally different. The phones, everything like that. So bringing that and bringing that into this era and like allowing this new young generation of audiences to see what it was like is super important, because then they can connect with like their parents, and it can be that like talk and that conversation about what things were like back then. And it kind of goes in a circle anyway. Like it all comes back. Like just in general, like fashion, like comes, like all the 2000s and things like that. That's all back, and this new generation are like getting to experience what we experienced back in the day. So I think it's the same with film and things like that. There's writers out there like yourself that are continuously bringing the old stuff to the forefront, even if it's just as simple as doing like it's just set in the 80s, but it's like a story that hasn't been told.
Exactly. No, I definitely agree with that. And I think that a big part of that is fostering that understanding, even if it's just within your own family. I was lucky enough to grow up with my two grandparents, and I'd live with them all the way up until they passed away. And so, I feel like I'm lucky to have that understanding of a different generation. And then, of course, with, our parents' generation, it's just nice to be able to have a different view and like a broader view of what it is, just to be alive and what people went through and how that affects us today even.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, like you said, like, and as artists, we bring in like our ex own experiences. So, yeah, you living with your grandparents from like when you were born or up until they like passed away, that's an experience. That's a different experience. Not many people get to even meet their grandparents and live with their grandparents. So that's a unique story, and then setting it in a different time era, like it just enriches it. I think like setting things in a different time enriches the story. I don't know how to like say it, but even if I was watching like a teen show now that was set in like the early 2000s, enriches that thing, because there's so much more like uniqueness to that time period, whereas now it's almost, and I don't mean to be rude, but it's almost like bland a little bit. Like it's not, there's nothing like the not there's no uniqueness to this time, this era at the moment. It's kind of like, all the iPhones look the same, everything looks the same, like, but then if you take it back and you change the era or whatever, I think immediately people are just more excited to watch something.
And I think again that goes into what you said about everything being cyclical and circular. One day we're going to look back at this time and someone's going to make, a film about, TikToks and COVID and all that, and we're going to go, wow, like what a time.
I just feel like, yeah, bringing, but having that kind of mind to focus in on like a period piece or something like that is, it takes a lot. It requires a lot, because there's a lot of in-depth detail that you need to make sure that you capture. Are you a very detail-oriented person, or did that, yeah, so you
100%, 100%. I've always been one for like nailing down even the smallest details. I love historical accuracy and research. I've always said that in anything that it is that I want to write or direct, the two main things that I'm always, I've always got at the forefront of my mind is research and respect for
Yeah.
whatever it is that I'm writing about. And so, like, I'll go down rabbit holes just to like research one tiny little detail, but like maybe nobody else will notice it, maybe nobody else will appreciate it, but I know that it's there. So I'm like, okay, all good.
But it's so important to do that, because like there's so many, like you see it with the most experienced directors, like some of them miss like important details, or there's things that aren't like represented on screen accurate or whatever, that just may have been a complete miss by the team or whatever. But it's so important, I think, as a director to be like, detail oriented, and then especially if you're doing it like in a time period that maybe you weren't born in or you don't have all the knowledge about, which is, it's insane. But like, it, I feel like being a director is such a fun job, and like getting to kind of have your hands in every kind of section of like the film and TV industry. What would you say like the most valuable thing that you've learned through when you were at your time in Swinburne? Like, what's the most valuable thing that you learned? Because Swinburne has a good reputation as a good school. Was there something that you took away with you that you kind of use now, actively when you're directing different projects?
Yeah, I think because the course that I was in was so, it was one of the more broader ones. It wasn't like specific to just writing or directing or camera department. I think having that experience in all different departments was really important because as a director, I feel more confident now in my understanding of every department and how they all come together to form whatever it is that you're doing, the film, the TV show. So I think taking the time, if you want to be a director, you need to understand every department, at least, at some level. I'm not saying, you need to know absolutely everything about sound and, camera, but just, being.
How to speak to someone.
I think, it just helps for so many different things, but even just that basic understanding of, knowing what you want to say to, say, your DOP or your soundie, you can get that across much easier because you have an understanding of their perspective as well because you've worked in that department. So, yeah, I think that was definitely very valuable to see things from everyone's perspective. And also just, being in uni, you have more sort of time and an allowance to make room for mistakes, and you don't feel like, oh, well, I'm on an actual, big professional set now, and I can't mess up and I can't ask questions and I can't do this. I think it was good that, everyone was a student, everyone was in the same position. You had that room to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, and not to be afraid to ask questions on how to correct them.
Were you very set from the beginning on the type of director that you were going to be and the type of stories that you were going to tell? Or did you find that through your journey at uni and then like else, like all the other stuff that you've done?
Yeah, even now, I wouldn't say that I'm, set on being a specific type of director or I only want to do these certain type of projects. I know that there's obviously things that I'd prefer to direct and to write even, but I'm pretty open. I love variety. So, and just with anything in life, everything is like a learning experience and a journey that you evolve from and you learn from, and it changes you in different ways. And I think that with every project I work on, everything I write, everyone that I meet, even that's going to leave a mark and change you in some way. So I think that you're never fixed as a director, as you're never fixed as a person in general.
Yeah, and that's a way to look at it because there are specific directors that are very like, hey, I'm just horror, or like, hey, I'm just, but like to have that broad perspective and really just do it through whatever story like that you want to tell, and kind of picking, I guess, what genre would fit that story or best. Like you could have a really crazy story and it's just gonna fit like the horror genre best, but like I think you're right. Like being maybe set in one thing can also be like a little bit limiting. So like it's good to know that like you're more like open to the experiences that you have and this, the stories that even maybe you're being told and it's not necessarily your story to then go and write like based on what you hear or what you see or what you experience yourself. What I guess for you going into this journey, like being the director that you are now, with your family, did you have big challenges in getting them to accept what you wanted to do? Because obviously, like in our, yeah, like I said before, like in our culture, it can be hard. But did you have that experience necessarily, or were your parents like always supportive, but maybe like they didn't understand exactly like it was involved in the career?
Well, I think growing up, everyone thought I was going to be a lawyer. That was like a thing. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I talk a lot or I like to argue sometimes. I don't know. But that was like, I don't know. There was never like an expectation, but that was just sort of what everyone thought. And then, going through school and realizing that I am very creative and this is what I want to get into, it was never. Like, I couldn't say it was an issue. I'm like very lucky to have had supportive family and friends throughout all of my schooling journey and, now beginning my career. But yeah, I can't say it was always easy to explain to everyone what it is that I'm doing. Yeah, I think it's just something that I have to, go back to and say, yeah, this is what I'm doing now. And it's not always going to be the same. It's not a 9 to 5, and I don't have a desk job, and I can't tell you in one sentence what it is that I do because I'm always doing something different on a different project with different people on a different set. So, yeah, it's just like a continuous open conversation, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing though. Like, it can, does it feel like it becomes repetitive when you have to explain what you're doing? Like, and when you're explaining it, is it like, do you feel like you're being like spoken down to or not really? You're just like, okay, this is what I have to do. This is my job. And it can't, you feel like it would kind of feel the same if you were working in the 9 to 5?
I think it's hard to say. I don't think it's always you feel necessarily spoken down to. And then if ever you feel like that, I think it comes down to you yourself realizing that it's that can come from a place of someone not understanding. And you can understand that in a way, because what we do and our industry, it's not something that everyone knows about necessarily, unless they know of someone or they've had some experience in it. So, I mean, I'm not going to blame someone for being curious and not understanding. So if they want to ask me questions, I'm more than happy to answer. But yeah, it can get a bit repetitive because you in your own head know exactly what it is that you're doing. So to explain it to someone else,
For sure.
definitely can feel like that. But I'm not going to blame someone for not knowing in the same way that I have no idea about, chemical engineering or anything like
Yeah,
that.
exactly. No, that is totally fair enough. Do you feel like being like Greek Australian, it's important to kind of through your work often like tell your like stories that you grew up. Like how you grew up and all the, is that like a big inspiration for you when you write things? Like, do you often come from a place of like, I want to tell people about what it's like being Greek Australian and those are where your stories kind of stem from? Or is it honestly just like not that much of a thing for you? Like, you're more like wherever this, whatever the story is, wherever the story takes me, doesn't not necessarily a aim for you to tell a lot of Greek Australian stories.
I think for me personally, I know everyone will have a different answer to this because, just because you're of a different cultural background doesn't necessarily mean you're always going to tell stories from that background. But, and it's not as if I always specifically set out to share those experiences, but a lot of the time I find myself going back to that. I think it's just something natural. Like my graduate film was about a young boy in post World War II Italy. I mean, I'm Greek, not Italian, but having that European background and then him coming to Australia and experiencing life as a grandfather in the suburbs in Melbourne, and now having being in pre-production for another cultural first generation Australian themed show. I think a lot of my inspiration just naturally will come from those experiences as a Greek Australian because, at the end of the day, we did grow up differently. We, even though we were born here, we went to school here, and this has been our home, we did grow up differently. That's to go without saying. So, I think, who you are as a person will always creep into what you're doing and influence you, because that's just fundamental. So yeah, I am inspired a lot by my cultural background.
Also, like, we're the new generation. Like, we're bringing in our stories from our perspective of what it was, of what it's like to grow up Greek Australian. Whereas, you know, the ones before us, they set that precedent. They set what, like, their stories. They told their stories. They essentially broke us in to being able to tell our own story.
Yeah.
It is different. It is vastly different to how, like, our parents grew up and those actors and those artists that were telling their stories in our parents' generation to how we're telling our stories, because we've grown up differently. Like, we had our grand, like, a lot of us had our grandparents, so we had that experience and that, and, you know, we had the traditional food surrounding us, we had the music, we had all of that. Our parents had the, like, strict version of our grandparents.
Yeah.
How in a lot of, you know, a lot of those people in that generation, they also, not all of them grew up with their own grandparents. They don't have that same experience that we
Yes.
have. So I think it's very important to continue these stories, because our generation, like, we have to, like, bring that in and show the next generation what we had, because they're also going to have something different. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
Going to be living with the modern grand, like, you know, they're gonna
Yeah.
the modern grandparents. Like, and I don't mean to be, like, rude, but a lot of those modern grandparents aren't the same as our grandparents. Like, they're
Yeah. Yeah.
that same vibe. It's not like, hey, you're going to your house, you're getting this amazing, like, feast or, like, amazing food that's, like, out of this world, because, like, most of our parents can't really replicate that, like,
Yeah.
possible, because the way our grandparents grew up in the villages and things like that, it's a totally different world. Like, cooking is sometimes all they had, so it's, like, it's important. And I think what you're doing is, like, really good. Like, obviously, I want to talk more about first generation, but, like,
Yeah.
that story that you've developed and that is, like, currently being cast and everything like that, it's that new vibe. It's
Yeah.
still, like, set in the 80s, but it's still, like, you're drawing from your own experiences, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so important. I don't know, I just feel like that's what's great about being a part of, like, GAFS as well. Like, we get to express that and we get to show what we've written, that, like, and have that seen by the younger generation. Like, we're essentially bringing in that new thing, so people from the younger generation can see how we lived as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's important.
I think so too. I think it makes a difference, because, you know, we had all those shows and all those comedians and all that stuff. We got to see them shine and them be understood by the rest of Australia, or, do you know what I mean? They got acknowledged for what they were, the experiences they had, and also, like, just be seen as actors and not, like, you know, the Greek actor or the Italian actor.
Yeah.
So, and we want to keep that going. Like, I mean, obviously right now it's not an issue to be, like necessarily Greek or Italian in the industry, but there was a lot of time where it was, and it was very difficult for those actors to break into the industry.
Yeah.
What would you say the most rewarding thing is about being a director?
I think something that is more immediate is seeing something that you have poured so much work and time and love into, just being there on the screen and being enjoyed by other people. And I love it when I'm at a screening and afterwards, you know, strangers come up to you and they want to talk to you about it, and they have questions, and, you know, they can offer something similar which they have experienced and they can relate to it. And I just think that it's so rewarding to be able to be in an industry and to create things that ultimately sparks inspiration and ideas and brings people together and fosters understanding in between, you know, groups of people who might necessarily have never interacted before, never, you know, thought that they had a similar perspective or shared experience. And I love that. I love bringing people together and I love inspiring people. I love creating emotions within people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that answer because it very much is that across all of the fields. But I feel like especially as a director, because like you're responsible for bringing whatever's on that page to life.
Yeah.
You know, visually and also like getting the actors to that place where they can express and feel comfortable to express, you know, like their truest performance. And like, I think it's so important to be a director that like allows that and is capable of doing that with actors. So I think it's a special thing to have that and to be able to like to nurture the actor and nurture the other people on the set too, because I feel like, you know, as much as the set is like a team effort, the director, I guess, sets the tone of what that set's going to be like and how things are going to run. And I think it really does make a difference if you have like a really nurturing, happy director, or like even if the director's strict but was still nurturing, still like, you know, warm at heart and can understand an actor's process or whatever. It makes a difference compared to if you have the complete opposite, because a lot of the time if you do have the complete opposite, no one's going to feel comfortable and you might just work out on the screen. So yeah, I think it's super important, but that's a perfect answer. We have reached the end of the podcast, but at the end of every episode, I like to do a little raising awareness section for my guests, if they have anything they want to raise awareness to that might not be like as spoken about in current day society. So by all means, go ahead. If there's anything you want to raise awareness to today, I'd love to hear it.
I think something that's really close to my heart, and just, you know, we touched on it briefly before, you know, growing up with different generations, I think it's really important to pay attention to those who, you know, we may have left to the side a bit now, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, our elderly, you know, our grandparents, our great aunts and uncles, you know, anyone who sort of, you know, getting old is not easy, I imagine. Yeah. And a lot of the times it seems to me that elderly people are being left sort of to figure out their own things and, you know, nobody really pays attention to them. And it just really breaks my heart because, you know, as I said, I was really lucky to grow up with my grandparents and to be with them until, you know, their end. And you can learn so much and, you know, experience so much even if you just sit down and have a conversation. You know, it's just so nice to be able to hear something from a different perspective, and it really makes you more of an understanding and patient person. And I think that, you know, in a lot of different countries, in a lot of different societies now, there's an aging population and nobody pays attention to it or nobody wants anything to do with it. So I think that, you know, if you have someone who's getting on in age, don't leave them out. Don't make them feel alone, you know. Include them and you'll learn something from it.
I definitely do agree. I think it's so important, and I've been feeling this a lot lately too, because I don't know, everyone's probably heard about the abuse in childcare and things like that, and the new like rules that are being implemented and cameras in every room and things like that. And 100% agree with that, and without a doubt, like that needs to happen. That should have happened years ago. Glad it's happening now. But the thing that aggravates me the most is, you're right, at a certain point in your life, people start to forget. So you have children that can't defend themselves, and they can't, someone just being an absolute asshole or absolute evil person comes in and attacks them. But you also have elderly who are in nursing homes that can't defend themselves, and they have protection either. So I think that's the thing that I'm most passionate about, truly, because, my grandma had Alzheimer's, died of that, but she also had abuse happen to her in the nursing home, and there's no proof there. And there's still no cameras in there, and there's been multiple, like, I don't know what the word is right now, but like multiple processes and things like that, and multiple cases of proof of torture and abuse in nursing homes, but nothing has happened. There's a that's the word. There was royal commissions that have happened, and nothing has changed in terms of putting a protection like cameras in the rooms to protect the elderly. I think you're right in terms of like go and spend time with your grandparents or any elderly figure that you have in your life, because you're lucky to have them in your life if they're healthy, if they're mentally okay. And then also, like, we need to also start to speak up about elderly that are in nursing homes and getting more protections in place, because that should happen. That should happen now. Like, that should essentially, both of these things should be linked, and they should have cameras in that and cameras in childcare, environments as well. I just think, yeah, I get sad because I think at a certain point people forget, and I don't like that.
No, definitely not.
In agreement with you. I think it's just like, yeah, I have such a passion for it, mainly because, like, we love our elderly, but also when you have that own your own personal, like, kind of story and experience with that, it makes it 10 times harder. But yeah, if you have your grandparents in your life,
Give him a call. Pick up the phone and ask how they are.
because honestly, if they're in your life, they're mentally okay, their brain is working, everything is, and they're like 100% healthy, and they're essentially just, they've gotten older, you're in the best position that you could ever be in. Yeah. You're rich for it. You're more
Definitely.
for it. They haven't been ripped away from you, which is always hard. So everyone, definitely give your grandparents a call. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast tonight. I'm so excited to hear about your career, where you go next, but also excited to like team up with this and the film. I'm just so keen to see it being filmed as well, now that we've almost maybe finished the casting. I don't know, but I'm loving being a part of it, and yeah, thank you for jumping on today.
No, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I definitely am excited to finish this pre-production with you and with the team and getting into production. And yeah, definitely appreciate all of your hard work as well. So thank you for everything.
Thanks. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.